Agenda item number 8. Mr. Stagg.
Good morning, Commissioners. So I think most, if not all of you, were here maybe at the August meeting in 2015, where we heard a multitude of applications all at the same time in the York River, and some action was taken on some and resolved. However, there were two of the applications that were tabled at that meeting for staff to conduct some additional consultation with the Department of Historic Resources. So that has been done, and we've rescheduled them for today. So we are considering these two applications of Carl Setterholm and Donna Melzer on the northern side of the York River in Gloucester County, downstream of the U.S. Route 17 Coleman Bridge. Just to refresh your memory, this is a map that was in the previous presentation that shows a number of applications beginning downstream here and offshore here and moving back towards the bridge. All of these that have the 2014, 15, and 13 numbers were part of that, as well as two applications on the southern side. As you recall, at the previous meeting, there was a number of issues raised by some protestants. They also petitioned to have some additional clam ground set aside in a portion of these on the northern side. The commission acted on that and did not recommend any, they did not approve any additional clam ground. There were some other hall stain issues and other use issues. I think we've worked through all of those on all of them. And it really came down to, for these two, the historic resources issue. Also at that meeting, you saw this map, which is a designation of the area where they believe there are submerged resources. The Department of Historic Resources indicated anywhere in this area they believe there are a multitude of shipwrecks back from the Revolutionary War era. And they had concerns about us leasing in any of this area where you see this delineation. So at that meeting, here's a graphic of kind of what was done with the applications. You can see two to the downstream were approved. They are really outside of the historic resource arc. That arc runs from Gaines Point over to the shoreline on this side. So these were sort of downstream of that. This one was denied, and these were both denied. And this one was actually approved by the commission contingent that it not actually be finalized as a lease unless there was a bottom study done of that area to delineate whether there was area in there that could be leased that would not affect historic resources. So that one remains on our books just kind of as a pending substance to see if there'd be any action to do that. So again, these two were tabled. I did meet with the Department of Historic Resources last year, the end of last year in Richmond, and we had another robust discussion about this area. And basically, they indicated and was confirmed just a week ago in email to me that my characterization of the meeting was correct, that they still had serious concerns about leasing in any of this area of the York River because of the potential and the known historic resources that might be on the bottom. Therefore, in light of that, we are continuing to recommend denial of these as we did originally, but mainly here, not so much because of any of the protests, but because of the sister agency's recommendation. As an alternate, the commission could consider, you know, approving these contingent, as they did the Bonneville application, upon a bottom study being done. We did discuss that a little bit during the meeting with Historic Resources, and their indication was that if that was to be done, that the study would definitely should be done by a professional that we coordinate with, or whoever's doing it, coordinate with the Virginia Department of Historic Resources, to make sure that the methods they'd be using would be appropriate and that the study wouldn't be a waste of time once it was submitted and it was determined that it wasn't done correctly. As you remember, Ms. Broadwater spoke At the August meeting, he was a former employee of Historic Resources, and they suggested he was a good resource if there was a bottom study, and that there was actually some talk of some grant money being sought to do this type of work. But I'm not aware that anything has moved forward on that, and that could be a year, 2 years, or maybe not happen at all. As far as what this would cost, I don't have a real estimate, but to do a bottom study that would be adequate here, I think would be quite expensive. It would require either diving on the bottom or some pretty extensive sonar study, which might have to be followed up by actual dives to see what they hit with sonar, whether it was something that needed further exploration. So staff remains with our previous recommendation to deny these two, or subject to commission action to approve them contingent on a study. I believe Mr. Setterholm is here. I don't think the Melzers are here. They were both notified. We actually called them on the phone last week to make sure they were aware of the meeting, and also to offer our opinion that we were still recommending denial, and offered them the opportunity to withdraw if they'd like, but also before to tell them they certainly would like to be here today. We just wanted to let them know what staff recommendation was still going to be, and I'll leave it at that. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer.
I'm guessing there will be. Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Stagg, maybe this isn't for the tabled issues on the north side of the river, but on the south side, it's denied. Those two applications, I recall, they were denied. Does that say new application was applied for?
Yeah. I wasn't going to talk about that unless you asked me the question, but now that you have, I guess I will.
Sorry.
So this application, 2013-164, was denied, and unfortunately there was a staff error in our recommendation on that. Part of our recommendation was that it is within a historic resource area. Part of it was that it might be in an area where there was hall seining. But we also kind of hung our hat a lot on that. We believe this area was previously permitted for moorings associated with use of Yorktown Beach. And it turned out that the mooring permit is actually slightly to the west here, and basically in this area. There are a couple of structures in this area. They are actually range markers for the channel coming into up the York River that they used to use those more extensively than they do now. But as markers for boats coming in, they were kind of like range lights to line up with. When we discovered that and talked to the applicant, they were still interested in applying for this. So this application is the same applicant that applied originally. What we told them is we'd accept the application, and that we couldn't promise them they'd get their $25 back because it's non-refundable, but that we would not advertise it and hold it until we could vet this area further with historic resources again and bring it back to the commission. We did talk about this one as well, but I really didn't get a final confirmation until just the last 2 weeks from historic resources. They have continued concerns about this one as well, same as the two we're talking about. And what I told the bondholders was, you know, once I had vetted that again, I would talk to them. They indicated that if we were probably going to still recommend denial, they'd probably just withdraw. So hopefully you won't see this back on the news. That's the story behind it.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Fritz.
Yes. The Bonneville lease was approved.
This one right here.
That was approved.
That was approved contingent upon that we would not actually finalize a lease on it unless there was a bottom study done.
Okay.
Whether there was areas within that area that we could lease that wouldn't impact the resources.
Well, since it was approved, do they currently have to pay taxes on it since
no.
they can't use it? Okay.
No. It's basically stuck as a pending application in our system. They paid, of course, the application fee and the advertising fee like all these people did. But there's no ongoing fee. It will just probably sit as a unsurveyed and unassigned application. At some point, you know, I may write a letter and say, are they still, you know, interested in pursuing a survey? Or if the survey's done, you know, we would move forward on it. But otherwise, it's just going to basically sit. And if you do that with these two, it will kind of encumber this area as applications, but we won't assign them unless there's a bottom study done.
I understand that. So the applicants could, as the Bonnevilles, could lock this piece of ground up in case it ever gets freed up so they could use it by the Historical Society?
I'd say the status of the one that's approved, subject to the, it is sort of locked up. Of course, we're recommending not to lease it at mm-hmm. the moment. So if you had denied it and it was vacant, so we technically could apply again, but mm-hmm. we'd be back here all over again. Same recommendation, unless a bottom study was done. So.
Right. My concern would be, you know, if you deny it and it does become open one day, then somebody else could just, if they beat them to it.
Right. That's a possibility.
Other questions from the commission?
Just as a sidebar, when we were discussing adding this as clam ground, that would have resolved this because it would become clam ground. But Historic Resources wouldn't have liked it because they'd be dredging clams. The commission always has the option to deem areas, you know, not suitable for leasing by some action, which could have been done here for some of these areas or could still be done. Then we wouldn't take any new applications. You know, someone would have to come back to the commission during the public comment period and ask the commission to revisit that decision.
Questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Stack. Mr. Sederholm. Need to swear in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got? Please state your name for the record.
My name's Carl Sederholm. I've applied for this piece of ground. He had it marked 2014-028. I have a little thing here because I spoke before where your historical man was talking about going around finding things. This was given to my father by the Yorktown Historical Society because my father and my uncle were the ones that helped them find all the boats and stuff that they knew were there because my grandfather worked it and they worked it. They knew where all that stuff was from clamming and being around it their whole life. So to show y'all, they were a part of finding what they have marked and stuff down there now. The other thing is all your ships and stuff from the attack on Yorktown, all that stuff was done on Yorktown side, the whole Cornwallis up there. There was nothing on Gloucester side. From my uncle's, what he knows from working it, you have two sunk boats up there on the Gloucester side. One of them is an old steamer boat thing that sunk in 40-something other. Another one, some boat that caught on fire at the old ferry dock and burned down. All that's above the piece of ground I'm looking for, and to me has nothing to do with the historical thing of the colonial stuff. So my other thing is, this is not a new piece of oyster ground. It has not been worked. It has not been rolled. My wife looked up online for me. In the older days, a man named Rosser Blake owned it. His brother Odell Blake had a piece of it. L. Cook, a man that had L. Cook Seafood out of Sayers Creek, he worked it. He planted it. And then a man that I used to work for as well, and my father did, Sidney Phelps, he worked it at one time as well. My wife found this stuff online. If y'all don't mind if I bring this up here. You'll see inside where there was already
previous. Hold on a second. We need to get you back to the microphone.
You'll see marked inside of there. It was already oyster ground that was leased and used before, and I think, what was the date, 2012, dog? 2002. So, I mean, it's not something that's been sitting there for 40, 50 years. And like I said, my father, he worked it. Other people work it today. Y'all talk about your clammers grew up doing it. How many clammers do you have out there now? The seed farming is pretty much taking that over as far as your patent on clamming. It's hard to go out. Excuse me. It's hard to go out and make a day's work now. Everybody's doing the oystering and is doing the winter work up James River. So on that part. But my whole real thing is it's not a new piece of ground. It ain't never been touched. Ain't never been worked. My grandfather worked it. My daddy worked it. Other people have. So I can't remember any stories of them catching any historical stuff on it. I guess the really biggest piece of it, too, as well, it's not a new piece of oyster ground. It's something that's been used and worked in the past, and I would like to take it and work it. I've taken a piece up above the bridge there. Planted that, got that rolling. I got Two's Point doing the same thing. So I'm not trying to destroy anything. I'm trying to bring it back. So, but I would really appreciate it if y'all would allow me the chance to work this piece of ground and see what I can do with it.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Tackert.
Tell us again what you're planning to do with it.
what I'm planning to do with it. Well, right, it's sitting still now, so I'd like to. It's got hard packed sand and everything on that inshore edge, which is what most all that is. I brought a chart with me, so if you were to see the chart I have here, pretty much where I just roughed it out on the chart, you'll see that the ground is pretty much in shallow water. I got one little spot there that you drop off the deep edge. So, I mean, if you're looking for old colonial ships to hit it, most of them was drawn anywhere from 14 to 20 feet, those old ships, because most of them was half under the water. So, I mean, the whole thing is, how's he going to get an 8-foot piece? Ain't going to happen. If y'all would like to see the chart.
That's okay.
But, like I said, my biggest thing is my father was a part of helping the Historical Society finding and showing them everything they knew where it was. And it's not, it's been worked many, many days already.
Questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Sarrell.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Stagg, has this ground been worked in the past and long assigned?
Some portions of this, the inshore part of it, yes, has been leased in the past. It has been leased in the past. Maybe we're doing a better job of coordinating with historic resources than we used to, but some of this area was previously leased, not the offshore part. I can only tell you what historic resources is continuing to say about this entire area. So.
Now, I understand. Mr. Ballard.
Mr. Stagg, do you agree with the comment of the shallow water there'd be very little likelihood of a historic resource in that area? And
I raised that very issue in my meeting with historic resources in Richmond, and they still maintain that they think there could be shipwrecks shuttled in that shallow water.
As a follow-up, would it even be possible to delineate a lease based off depth of water and possibly delineate an area that goes to the 8-foot mark or somewhere around there?
I think we have capability to do that. The question becomes what's the proper depth to possibly avoid where they would have been shipwrecked. It's an unknown here, and I have to rely on historic resources because we don't have any actual data here of where any of these are or could be without someone doing a more extensive study. So it's kind of a conundrum in the fact that we have leased some of this, probably been worked before. The offshore one, I think, that the Melzer lease has never, none of that area way up there has ever been leased.
Right.
Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Stagg, in your meeting with Historic Resources, did you discuss the adjacent upriver application that the commission approved pending a more extensive? Did they feel that was appropriate, or would a more extensive bottom survey determine where, if any, historic resources were contained?
I don't think they were really comfortable that we approved it contingent on anything, but I think they were more comfortable that it was at least approved continued upon some further investigation, or maybe we could identify in conjunction with them, an area within that maybe the whole thing, but that we could identify an area that it could be leased, which is why I proffered that, that's still an option on these two. The problem is study. Someone's going to have to do a study, and I doubt Mr. Settleholm wants to invest that kind of money, or the Melzers or the Bonnevilles. It may happen on its own with some other funding source, but.
Mr. Zeter.
What happens if we lease that property and then the Historic Society or the agency gets some kind of a grant where they would go and then, get those resources out of the water? I mean, preserve them as a historic whatever. My point is, if we lease it and then he's got oyster grounds there and then they go down there and want to dig that stuff up, is that going to be a violation in his lease and is it going to damage his oyster beds?
I'll be your legal counsel on that, but I believe the answer is yes.
Yeah, the statute sort of spells out what your lease is subject to, and it doesn't include recovering historical resources or whatever, so they wouldn't have a right to go do that on that property.
The agency would.
Right.
Unless the at least if they gave permission, they could.
Right.
Just permission, obviously. Anyway.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Stagg. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to be heard in favor of this application?
Not speak against her.
Gave you a good shot at this, too. Anybody in the audience wishes to be heard against this application, in opposition to this application? All right. Public hearing is closed. Matter is before the commission. What's the will of the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Well, I appreciate staff's, you know, effort in bringing this back, and I would make a comment here about oyster ground applications in general, but specific to this. You know, the commission's done a lot of approving oyster ground, denying oyster ground, or approving conditionally oyster ground, and in my opinion, been very adaptive and responsive to concerns when there are user conflicts that arise, or there are multiple users of an area, or something like this with historic resources. In terms of a compromise, it does seem like there's a valid interest to make that ground productive. And I think the compromise might be to require that survey or more extensive survey of any historic resources in the area be conducted prior to any propagating of shellfish. The funds to be determined, I guess, but I would feel comfortable with that compromise as opposed to outright denial of the application.
Mr. Zedron.
I don't see this any different than the situation we got in the Lynn Haven River where the commission leased the ground for oyster beds, and then the state approved the put a new channel through there for a development, and which resulted in a big lawsuit because the oyster leaseholder said, well, you're destroying my leasehold, and of course VMRC gave him that leasehold. And now it's a big mess. And you know, something was said here earlier about if we take and deny these applications, and we can also move that they not be allowed to be released, because I don't want him to lose his right to that property there, and then somebody else over there runs out there and files the application, and then we were hearing the same thing. If it would be my thought, if we deny their applications, we also take them off the market and say that they're non-leasable so that they're not hurt. And in, if some later time the Historic Society or the agency does something that allows that, and I don't even know if you can do this, is to allow them, if that land becomes leasable, let them have a first option on it. But I think for us to tie up land that historic society or the agency has, just it's a lawsuit ready to come, because when they start digging the ground, then the leaseholder, and rightly so, says, wait a minute, you're destroying my leasehold, and I have an application here. And so that gives them some indicia of ownership, and I think that's the wrong thing we need to do here, is tie up another agency when they're telling us in advance, hey, guys, you know, we're telling you, deny the leases down there, but I want to protect these guys too. Is deny the leases and either give them a first right if it comes on board, and if it's not, the state agents can do what they want.
Mr. Ballard.
Question for staff regarding Mr. Cedron's comments. Would the application, if it was tabled pending a proper survey, would that actually call, if the survey was done and there were historic resources, that application at that point, I assume we would be here probably denying it to allow the historic resources to be recovered?
You want to handle that one?
That's a good question.
So if if I understand correctly, your question is what would happen if the contingency is fulfilled and you have this survey and you actually find something, right? Well, I think I guess there are a couple ways to handle it. One, you could say that, you know, the lease is approved pending and a survey that finds no historic resources on it. And that way, if they did find it, then, you know, the contingency has not been fulfilled, so it's still, you know, kind of out there. Or you could say approved contingent on completion of a survey, and if it finds something on the property contingent on those historic resources being removed and preserved in some way. I don't know, even if historic resources found them, I don't know if they would remove them. They may just keep them there. I just don't know.
Mr. Erskine.
Well, I see that the application for Mr. Setterholm is 250 acres, is maybe that size area. If in fact, a survey was done and found 100 acres to have historic resources, but there might have been the balance of which did not, that may be leasable.
That would be my understanding, that we would obviously coordinate with historic resources, but if they concurred that the study shows there's stuff here, but there isn't here, and therefore they conclude that there's no reason not for us to lease it, then we would process the remaining portion of that pending application, survey it, and assign it. We wouldn't need to come back to you if we got that signed off, unless you want us to have a final say on it.
Mr. Tackard and Mr. Seed.
Mr. Stagg, do we have any indication that there have been surveys done by Department of Historic Resources in the past? I mean, we talk as though this is a possibility. Is it been done in the past so that it may really be a possibility?
I think there has been some work done in this area, and Tony may know better because he's been involved with some of this historic. But I think there has been some work done and identified some specific sites. Don't know about this specific area right here, what they've done.
So, but specifically, there have been Sebaquis Bottom, the Historical Resources, has surveyed.
I think they've identified, whatever means.
Identified to survey or surveyed?
Do you have any comment on that?
I mean, we talk as though this thing is a real possibility. Yeah. You have to wonder if that isn't just talk.
Sure exactly how to characterize it, but survey work, as I understand it, has been done in this vicinity of the York River, and it's a potential National Register historic site. You've got to remember, these are shipwrecks from the Battle of the Revolutionary War,
right.
The battle that ended the Revolutionary War, yeah. And there's probably Civil War stuff here as well, and other artifacts from the river. So the Department of Historic Resources, I understand it, based on different surveys and different analysis have concluded that this entire area of the river has the potential for artifacts or shipwrecks, and therefore, I guess as Ben has explained, they're reluctant to recommend leasing the area because of the potential disturbance of those artifacts or wrecks that all have not been specifically identified, but they believe are in the vicinity.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Zedron.
Rather than take action on this right now, a thought may be to say, look, okay, if you guys really want this piece of property, you go ahead and get the survey done. And if it, and like staff's saying, it, you know, if they identify a piece of that that's leasable, they can process the lease. And if they identify an area that's got the artifacts in, then they can't lease that. And then and it'll resolve itself and put a time limit on it. You know, whatever is reasonable, you know, a year, 2 years, or whatever, and then put the burden on the applicant to make that determination rather than approve it subject to or this or that and the other thing. It just is part of the ongoing process. It, rather than take action now, we'll postpone it a year or whatever is reasonable for them to go ahead and do that study. And if they don't do it, the application dies. And then I'd still go back and say, give those guys a first opportunity if, in fact, that does come on there, but indicate that that's a non-leasable portion of the river.
Mr. Ballard.
I agree in sentiment with what Mr. Zedron is saying. I think I would just defer to staff what they think is the most efficient mechanism to do this, whether it's approval with a contingency or whatever staff thinks is the best way to do this. But I think you kind of understand what we're trying to get at, that we're uncomfortable leasing this without a survey showing the absence of historic resources.
I think Mr. Zedron's idea has merit. I had a little reservation when you approved the one for the Bonneville that is just open-ended, because this is just going to stay on my books, my pending applications, in perpetuity, I think, unless I come back to you sometime in the future and say, no study's been done, we're going to just keep holding this thing. So I think that, you know, it is a possibility. I question whether any of these current three applicants that are still in some kind of pending status, these two today and the one that's approved contingent to a study, you know, are going to be able to or want to come up with the kind of money that would do that, that funded themselves. And again, this could happen independently from someone.
This agency is not doing that study.
Correct.
We have not the resources nor the expertise, and I think Mr. Stagg is right to say that this would require some high-tech sonar and diving. That ain't us. And whatever study would be done, I would say would have to pass muster both with VMRC staff and with staff from the Department of Historic Resources. I think there should be no expectation by anybody that the Department of Historic Resources is going to fund something like this. They're even smaller than we are.
They pretty much told me that. They have no funds to do any of this right now.
So if there would be an approval contingent upon a study within a time period to do this, in order for this application to be to move forward and to be turned over to the Sutter Homes, I suspect it would have to come from their pockets to do this. So to me, that raises the logical question, Mr. Sutterholm, how much do you want this ground, and are you willing to pay for a study to determine whether or not there are historic resources on this 250 acres?
Well, I'm pretty sure I don't have the money to pay for something like that. And it's not, you know.
And I would let the record reflect Mr. Sutterholm has indicated that he doesn't have the finances to afford such a study. I will say another thing here, I guess from my perspective, is that I have a great desire to lease water bottoms for the purposes of propagation. I mean, it's what we do, and we've been doing it a long time, and we've been doing it very successfully, and now we have almost 23,000 acres statewide under lease. Personally, I'm not in favor of leasing this property until there is such a study. I'm not willing, from my perspective, to lease this water bottoms in the mere hopes that there aren't historic resources out there that are of significance to our culture that have been out there for 250 years. I don't want to risk something happening to something that's priceless for our history and our culture and our heritage. That's my perspective. So to make it real simple, my suggestion is that the lease be denied and it be set aside until such time as a Department of Historic Resources approved study has been done and has identified no historic resources on this lot. That's my suggestion. Mr. Taggart.
I would concur. It seems to me that it is the cleanest mode of action if we have this contingent on this or that. It becomes confusing, and I don't think, as Mr. Fran said, because Historical Resources has said that they don't want this area leased, we aren't going to lease it. So there's no chance of someone else jumping the gun, so to speak. And I too would like to see Mr. and Ms. Sutterholm work this ground. However, this battle was important to our country, and it is a priceless, I am sure, a chance for priceless artifacts to be recovered in this area. So I thus make a motion to deny.
And to keep it off.
Well, I think because of Historical Resources' current plea to us not to, to to lease this area, we will not lease it at any other time.
Well, then it sounds to me, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth or put words in your motion. It sounds to me like you're indicating a motion to deny the application and to set aside this 250 acres. I think that's what you
mean. Yes, I would do that both, yeah.
It's a motion by Mr. Packard and a second by Mr. Zedron. I expect there will be some discussion on this. Mr. Erskine.
I don't disagree with the part of the motion, and that's denying the application based on the information we have. I think the applicant presented important information that it was worked previously. But again, I think this commission has done an excellent job adaptively managing to new information. And with Oyster Ground applications, it's become difficult, but it's a process that is here and available to us, and I think we've done a very good job. However, the second part of that, as far as setting it aside, I just don't agree with setting something aside and putting that into the motion. I think, like Mr. France said, it speaks for itself that Historic Resources has designated this area. I mean, we have a map that indicated that area or the swath around the bridge that is up on the screen, that clearly we're going to have the same issue. It's going to be protest. It's going to come back to us. So I think that mechanism is in place without putting it as part of the motion.
Mr. Zeter.
Let me respond to that. I think part of the idea behind that is so somebody doesn't claim jump these guys, so to speak, and I think he agrees with that. Is it as soon as we deny it, then that one over there goes in and files it, and that, this way, by denying it, it keeps them in their place, so to speak, where nobody gets ahead of. You agree with that?
That's my thing, yes, sir, because I've seen it happen. Somebody put in four pieces, and they get denied, and 2 days later, somebody else puts in four, and somebody don't see it in the paper.
All right.
Mr. Erskine.
Well, I just want us to be very clear, then. We're setting a precedent to set something aside. So you all understand, as applicants and the rest of this commission, that setting things aside for certain reasons sets precedent that other areas that you all may want to apply for or others may want to apply for could be set aside. So let's just be really clear about what we're doing in setting things aside.
Mr. Seifer.
I don't see how it's any different when we set aside a sanctuary like we did in the Elizabeth River. You know, when they wanted to grow oysters there and we wanted to develop that, we set that aside. So I don't think we're starting any precedent. It may be that we're doing it for a different purpose here, but we do that all the time.
Mr. Erskine.
Well, and I agree. SAV is a good example also on the Eastern Shore. However, yes, they're for different reasons. But how many reasons are we going to take in here and still balance what the Oyster Ground is available for, and that's the propagation of shellfish. So I just want us to be very clear that that's what we're taking on, is more reasons to set things aside.
Mr. Tacker.
Well, I certainly understand what you're saying. I don't think we want to start setting aside land or bottom for a host of different reasons. However, there was only one Battle of Yorktown. It is a special site, a special occasion. I think it would be hard for someone to draw a parallel to close bottom to with this event. So I think that there is something very special about this, that there would be no chance of someone drawing another conclusion to set something else aside.
On the other hand, Mr. Holt does make a pretty good point. Don't necessarily need a motion to set aside here. I think the discussion is pretty well given staff instructions that if anybody else ever applies for this ground, they got a long, hard slog to go through the commission if they wanted to get this.
You make a good point.
Mr. Zedron.
I kind of got to echo when I asked him, would he kind of back that provision up? And I think they're more comfortable in leaving here, even though they're denied, knowing that nobody else is going to put an application in right behind them. And that's why I think it's important, is that I understand both sides of the fence, and I don't want to hurt these guys. And I think if we go ahead and reserve it, then these guys are protected. And if by some chance the state or somebody or some historic society goes in there and excavates that site and takes it all back, these guys are not jeopardized by somebody jumping their claim.
Mr. Fritz.
I agree with what he just said. You know, I don't want to see them lose the right since they are the first applicants to apply. If we do put this in a set-aside, you know, what happens? It could be 2 years and a study's done and clears this ground, or it could be 10 years. And then where do we stand once it's cleared? Do we take away the set-aside? Is that dissolved or you know?
Yeah, I would imagine that would have to be a commission discussion action to remove the set-aside, if that's the route you want to go. Mr. Zedrin?
And go along with what he just said, then if it was cleared and come back, we could notify these guys and say, hey, look, this is cleared. You want to come on back with your application? And that way they're protected. I concur with what you're saying.
Mr. Bell.
Question for staff. Does the set-aside actually establish a waiting list mechanism? Is there any precedent for doing anything like that?
I don't think there's any precedent. I think the conundrum here is what language you use. Just saying it's set aside, or my preferred language would be, you know, the commission took an action that designated a certain area here as not to be leased until the commission takes some additional action to rescind that. But again, your legal counsel might address that better than I.
Mr. Bradley.
And as a follow-up, I think what Mr. Zedron's trying to establish is some mechanism so that Mr. Sutterholm would be first in line to lease this area if it became available for lease. Do we have a mechanism like that we could use here?
No, and I'll use the example of the Elizabeth River since I was mentioned earlier. We had a number of leases in the Elizabeth River and the Lafayette for years, and eventually virtually all of them went away because the 10-year renewal law, you had to prove you could use them. Elizabeth River, you could not harvest shellfish for any reason. And so people lost their leases. And that question was raised back then. You know, well, you know, but there's resource on it. And we worked it way, way back in the day. And are we going to get first right to get it back? And we never came up with a mechanism to do that or tell them that we would do that. And so long ago now, trying to research it would be a nightmare. So,
Mr. Fritz.
My next question would be, I know we're discussing this lease now, but would this apply to this whole historical area?
Well, that was a question I had as well, and the other application, the Melzer application.
Well, the Melzer application will be up next, and you may get the same treatment or may not. I don't know. Mr. Erskine.
Well, wouldn't the answer be no, because the Bonneville application was approved, conditionally approved?
Well, I think the commission's acted on that one, and you know, I don't want to make a motion for you, but if you want to designate this area as not to be leased, it seems to me the proper way to do it would be use this map. We would not accept any new applications in this area until sometime that the commission, a study's done or something, because this is the area that's sort of been identified.
Yeah, Mr. Stagg, I think I agree with Mr. Hull here at that. Doing something like that, that extensive a set-aside would require regulation, public hearing, commission approval. Mm-hmm. Mr. Erskine.
That is an option, but maybe not today.
Well, and as a follow-up, there are a number of active leases in that area.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. On the other hand, you heard what was said before, but the other option is to treat this like the Bonneville application and approve it contingent upon a study being done
by somebody
that is acceptable by the Department of Historic Resources and the staff at the Marine Resources Commission. But I kind of would say Mr. Zetron's thought that there should be a time limit on that would be applicable, because otherwise these become a de facto set-aside without a regulation. So
there is no time limit on the Bonneville currently that you approve that way.
I'm going to put Mr. Neal on the spot. Mr. Neal is often the smartest guy in the world. Give a path forward, Mr. Neal.
Well, no, I don't have a clean way out of this. There is no clean way. I definitely want to, you know, preserve an historical area, but the applicant makes, you know, a legitimate statement, and I believe him, this area has been worked, and we've leased it in the past. I don't like stepping on another agency's toes. If the historical agency wants us not to lease it, then I don't want to lease it. But then again, I don't think that should be like forever. And so, you know, it's like, well, okay, if you don't want to lease it now, fine, but when are you going to survey this area? When are we going to? We have potential historical areas everywhere in the Chesapeake Bay. I mean, we're a very historical area. And so if we use it, there might be historical wrecks or artifacts on the bottom, then we wouldn't use any bottom. It, you know, is our only basis of not using the bottom. And so, you know, I don't have a clean way of doing this. And so I have a real problem saying that we're never going to use this because there might be something on the bottom that we want to look at forever, because I don't know when that ever is going to happen. And so there you go. So that cleared up nothing.
Ms. Ballard.
In an effort to make a path forward here, I think we're all trying to get at the same thing, that we're nervous about leasing this area with the potential for historic resources on it and very important historic resources nonetheless. We also are sensitive to establishing some way to preserve Mr. Sutterholm's right to lease this bottom without someone coming in behind him and trying to lease it. I think the cleanest way to do that is to approve it contingent upon a survey approved by this commission and the Department of Historic Resources. I would establish a time period of 2 years. So I guess I will move that we approve this lease contingent upon a survey approved by this commission and the Department of Historic Resources for a period of 2 years.
Can I ask a question of clarification for the motion? When you say this commission, do you mean the board or do you mean the agency staff?
I would accept any version of that.
I think it would be unsolicited. I think it would be easier if it was the agency staff that would have a better professional ability to evaluate the merits of the study than I think the nine of us or eight of us sitting up here today.
Sure.
Mr. Commissioner, I think you've got a motion on the table that would probably have to be an amendment to the motion.
Well, I was basically asking for a clarification. But anyhow, Mr. Ballard, let's make this simpler. Could you restate your motion?
There was a previous
motion. Was there a previous motion?
Yes.
Okay. I lost that.
No, he made a motion.
I made a motion to deny.
And I seconded. Now, this would have to be an amended motion. Amendment to the...
His motion was denied,
well,
denied with a set-aside.
With a set-aside, yes.
Motion to deny it and set aside the area by Mr. Tankard, seconded by Mr. Zetron, and I suspect this is a substitute motion by Mr. Ballard.
I would offer this as a substitute motion.
Okay. And please explain the substitute motion one more time so that we're all on the same page.
I was afraid you were going to ask me to do that. That we approve this application contingent upon a study acceptable to this commission's staff and the Department of Historic Resources to be completed within 2 years.
The Sutterholm application.
After the two-year period, would this revert to a denial?
Yes.
I'll second it.
Everybody understand the motion? By Mr. Ballard and second by Mr. Zetron here.
I have a question.
Mr. Franz.
After 2 years, will the applicant be able to reapply?
If there's no study, my interpretation of this, if there's no study and at the end of 2 years, it's automatic denial, the applicant could apply again. More discussion on the substitute motion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. So the motion passes unanimously. So let me summarize for you, Mr. Sutterholm. Maybe. Okay. Thank you for your patience, sir. Ma'am. Mr. Stagg.
Elder?
Yes, please.
Well, the briefing is exactly the same from Elder. I briefed these together. I figured you would vote separately on them.
Well, I wanted to offer the opportunity for Mrs. Mills. Mills
area has not been leased previously, though, any of it. I'm pretty certain.
And the staff recommendation is?
Denial. Or?
Mr.
Study. Keep it pending based on a study.
Mr. Stagg, did you say in the briefing before that you spoke to Ms. Melzer this morning or yesterday?
I spoke to Billy Melzer twice, co-applicant.
Okay. And there,
he indicated on, he came into office actually on Friday. We spoke to him earlier in the week by phone. And my understanding from one of my staff is that he indicated he might be here today.
I guess as a follow-up, so you're indicating that they did not wish to withdraw or move forward or, okay.
That was my indication that they were not, they didn't withdraw, but they weren't real specific on whether they were coming or not.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Stack? All right, I'll open up the floor. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard on the application to lease water bottoms for the purposes of propagating oyster by Donna Melzer, number 2014-088? Because I don't believe the Melzers are present. Anybody wish to be heard on this matter one way or another? Seeing none, matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Ballard.
I think given that this area has never been leased before, it's a little bit different than the application we just heard. Furthermore, it looks to be further offshore in deeper water where there might be a higher likelihood of historic resources. I would move, given that we go ahead and deny this application.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Ballard. Second by Mr. Zetron. Discussion on the motion. I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. That motion passes unanimously.